Blog Talk Radio.
Pixie, kobold, elf, and sprite, all around their rounds tonight. In the wan moon's silver ray, thrives their helter-skelter play. Fond of cellar, barn, or stack, true unto the almanac, they present to credulous eyes strange hobgoblin mysteries, I guess. Cabbage stumps, straws wet with dew, apple skins, and chestnuts, too, and a mirror for some lass show what wonders come to pass. Doors they move and gates they hide, mischiefs that on moonbeams ride. Are their deeds and by their spells love records its oracles? Don't we all of long ago by the ruddy fireplace glow in the kitchen and the hall those queer koof-like pranks recall? Every shadows were they then, but tonight they come again. Were we once more but 16, precious would be Halloween. Good evening and welcome to Eerie House Radio Halloween Week 2021. I am Dale Kay from Spook Show, taking residence with
Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And I am also here with
Bob the Gold. Boy, boy.
Hey, that introduction is allegedly in public domain and is by Joel Benton. It's called Halloween. Halloween. You know, with a little apostrophe between the E's.
Ah.
Yes. And we're kicking off Halloween week with Monstrous Night, all about monsters. And we got three tales for you. One's a little on the brief side. We've got Mysterious Traveler and Lights Out, and a short one from Strange Adventure.
Yeah, that's a shorty. And boy, do I know about short ones. Wait. Wait a minute here.
He means brief tales, I hope. Yeah. More than we ever needed to go. What happened to Gar?
I am here.
I run out of coffee there, buddy?
Oh, no. Loads of coffee.
Yeah, and I don't hear your fire alarm going, so you're not making toast. What's going on, man?
There we go. Oh, man. I need to adjust my blinder right off. What's that about?
Right there on television, he's fixing his blinger.
Better. Okay.
There you go. He can now function, sort of.
Fix my boinger.
All the springs are in place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the gears are wound for three wonderful tales. Don't know where we're going to start, but I just know we're going to have three good ones. Probably could start with Mysterious Traveler.
That's always a fun ride to go on.
Yep.
It's always a fun ride to go on, man.
Aren't we gonna do a big, huge intro about Halloween and festivities for all week long and what we're doing here at Eerie House?
Might be. Well, five straight nights of Halloween fun. Tonight it's Monstrous. Tomorrow Scream. Thursday Eerie Houses. Great Apes on Friday night, and then Saturday, of course, our annual visit with War of the Worlds and with yet another new version.
Yep. Another old new version, yeah, something like that.
I was going to say, does the new version include Orson Welles? Or
no,
it does not.
No. Wow. Okay.
Dave found us a nifty version from Buffalo Radio.
Yep.
New York.
KBW, and they used their own radio personnel, and you'll hear instead of going to the orchestra that's playing, they go back to the disc jockey who's playing his music and stuff until the next interruption.
Yeah, so a more modernized version.
Was that Buffalo, New York?
Yep, Buffalo, New York.
Uh-oh. An area you once hailed from, Dave, is that right?
It is, and a station I did listen to, the big KB.
So Dave, are you part Buffalo?
What's that?
Are you part Buffalo, Dave?
Well, I've been known to do some BSing, but...
Hello.
My. Stepping in it today.
But,
I don't know.
There was one of those in there somewhere. I had walked away from my Boinger. So.
Is it detachable?
Loads of Halloween programming. Yeah.
Yep. Our first tale called If You Believe from Mysterious Traveler.
Yes. And was it this one or the other one? Oh, it's the other one. Okay. Yes, Mysterious Traveler. Air date of December 12th, 1946.
Might as well kick it off. We'll be back after part one. Of course, I almost played part two. Here we go. Much better. Let's start with the train.
The Mysterious Traveler. This is the Mysterious Traveler, inviting you to join me on another journey into the realm of the strange and the terrifying. I hope you will enjoy the trip, that it will thrill you a little and chill you a little. So settle back and get a good grip on your nerves, if you can. Where are we going? Why, tonight we're going on a little excursion into the realm of pure imagination. You've all heard the old saying, believe in a thing enough and it'll come true. Well, suppose many people came to believe in something that couldn't possibly be real. Such as an artificial monster growing in a scientist's laboratory. What would happen? But if you want to know what might happen, listen to the story I call If You Believe. My story begins in a rambling old house deep in the woods. In a homemade laboratory, gray-haired Professor Jonathan Davis is peering eagerly into a large glass container that holds an odd, transparent, jelly-like substance.
Ellen! Oh, Ellen!
Yes, dear?
Ellen, come quick.
I'm coming, dear.
What is it? Ellen, look. I think I've succeeded at last.
Oh, Dad.
You look. Your eyes are better than mine. Yes? Isn't there movement in the protoplasm this time? Isn't it stirring? Just a little?
No, Dad. There isn't any movement.
No? You're positive, Ellen? I was sure I saw some sign of life.
I'm quite positive, Dad. Now, please, won't you admit that what you're trying to do is impossible?
No, Ellen. No, I will succeed. I know it. Now, come, we've got to try another feeding mixture. If you hand me the saline solution and the dextrose, and I'll begin again.
But while Professor Davis labored in his lonely seclusion to make a lifelong dream come true, something that was to affect him vitally was happening in the editorial room of the largest newspaper in the nearby city.
City desk, Benson speaking. Oh, hello, Mr. McGuire. Yes? Well, yes, sure, I've been reading Dan Duncan's special features. I edit them. I see. You don't think they've been colorful enough lately, huh? Well, to tell the truth, I agree with you. I've been meaning to speak to him about it. Yes. Sure, I'll do it now. He just came in. Right. Right. Good night, Mr. McGuire. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, Joe. What cooks?
The big boss just phoned down.
What's he want?
Well, frankly, he thinks you're slipping.
McGuire thinks I'm slipping. Well, I like that.
That's what he said.
And I've done everything to get hot material except to go out and commit a murder myself.
Well, maybe he's tired of murders. You want to know why you don't turn up something like that haunted house story you did last spring?
Why, I don't. That was a good story, wasn't it?
It was a honey.
Yeah. Especially the description of the way the ghost of the drowned girl walked around the house, leaving wet spots where it stepped. You know, I caught a heck of a cold walking around in wet socks to make those footmarks.
No more than you deserve for faking a story.
You're faking a story. Listen, Benson, any time a million readers believe a story, it's true. And they believed in that ghost. Every one of them.
I'm not saying they didn't, but McGuire wants another story just as good.
I got a good mind to tell the old buzzard to fly a kite. Another story like... Hey.
Huh? What is it?
I think I got it. Hey, Ted. Ted Jones.
Oh, yeah, Dan.
Front and center.
Oh. Yeah, what is it, Dan?
All right, dump your camera on the desk and sit.
Okay.
Now tell me, what was that story you told me last week about some professor living up in the woods back at town, never coming out of his private lab?
Oh, you mean Professor Davis?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Well, what about him?
There was a fuss over something he said in a lecture one day, wasn't
there? A fuss? Oh, it was more like an explosion.
Hey, wait a minute. I remember that case. Professor claimed he could create an artificial man, wasn't that it?
No. He said that an artificial man might be produced someday. Might be.
Well, the paper said he claimed he could create one.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it made a good story, didn't it?
And drove Professor Davis out of the university into retirement. Oh, the school didn't like the publicity.
Water under the bridge, kid. Anyway, here's the old professor working away secretly for the last 5 years. All alone?
No, he wasn't all alone. His daughter Ellen's with him.
How old is she?
Whoa. She was 15 then, so...
She's 20 now. Good looker?
Well, I was in Professor Davis's class. I remember it was a skinny brat with yellow hair.
Yeah, good, a blonde. So here's the prof secretly working with his beautiful blonde daughter at what?
I'll bite.
What? Why, he's trying to prove he was right. He's trying to create an artificial man.
Say, you've got something there.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You don't know Professor Davis is trying to create artificial life.
Well, we soon will. You know where his hideout is, don't you?
Yeah.
All right, then grab your camera. Let's get going.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Dan. Suppose you find Professor Davis is...
Ah, forget it. Benson, save me 2 columns. Come on, Ted. We're on our way.
There, Ellen. It's done. Now we must warm it ever so gently. It'll stay at blood heat until morning. And then, Ellen...
Oh, I hope so, Dad, but... Darling, if you fail again, won't you please promise me to stop trying to create this artificial protoplasm?
Well, we'll talk about that in the morning. Now, Oh, who could that be?
I'll go see, Dad. Yes?
I'm Ted Jones, Miss Davis. I don't suppose you remember me.
Ted Jones? Oh, you were one of Father's students, weren't you?
Yes, that's right. I'm a newspaper photographer now.
Oh.
Could we come in? I have a friend with me, a reporter.
Ellen,
and...
who is it?
Newspaper men, Dad. They want to see you.
Newspaper men, don't let them in. Send them away.
I come now, Professor. We just want to ask you a couple of questions, and but we can talk better inside, so... There. Now we can talk like friends.
Hey, but Dan, we weren't invited in.
How dare you force your way in here? Get out, both of you.
Please go.
Dan, come on. Professor Davis doesn't want to talk to us.
Keep your shirt on, Ted. Just a couple questions, Professor. Now, isn't it true that hidden away here you're creating artificial life?
I won't answer your questions. You just print more lies and ruin everything I'm trying to do.
Then you are creating artificial life, huh?
Young man,
Tell me how far you've gotten. You figuring on springing an artificial man on us one of these days?
You fools. While I still struggle to create synthetic protoplasm, you talk of artificial men. Go before I throw you out.
Please go, please.
Come on, Dan, we're leaving.
Okay, we're going. Thanks for the interview, Professor. Read all about it in tomorrow's Courier.
The imbeciles. What do they know of science? All they want is to cheapen my work, make it a sensation for the headlines.
Oh, please, Father, you must get control of yourself. They've gone now.
Yes, dear. They shan't interfere with my work. Well, come, we must adjust the heat. Ellen.
Yes, Dad, what is it?
Ellen, the mixture's moving. This time I'm sure of it. The protoplasm, it's alive.
Say, Dan, this is something. Behind bolted doors deep in the woods, Professor Jonathan Davis toils night and day to create the world's first synthetic man. In a great vat lies a strange caricature of humanity. It has a head, arms, legs, a body, all of them fashioned of a pale green substance like gelatin.
Nice touch, huh?
Day by day, life stirs more strongly in this grotesque creation of science. Someday it may breathe, walk, eat. Now look, Dan, aren't you going pretty strong?
Forget it. The old man wants a story, doesn't he? Besides, the professor really is working on synthetic protoplasm. Maybe he has got a pale green monster in his bathtub. How do I know?
Okay, Dan, but if you're faking this story, I know nothing about it.
Faking it? You know I never fake stories.
Okay. We'll set this up and put it in the press wires. By noon tomorrow, 40 million people will be believing in Professor Davis' artificial monster.
By noon tomorrow, I'll be believing in it myself.
And so, all over the nation, people read the story and marveled and believed, while in the laboratory, hidden in the woods.
Ellen, look. This time it is alive. It is. There can be no doubt of it.
The liquid is certainly moving, Dad.
Yes, see? And the protoplasm is breathing. Listen. You can hear it. I've created artificial life, Ellen.
Yes, I'm afraid so, Dad.
Afraid so? What do you mean? I'd like to see their faces out at the university when they hear of this.
It's grown since last night.
Yes, it has. The cells are multiplying like true protoplasm. That's why I transferred it to this gas tank. Now I must add salt, acid, phosphorus.
Oh, that must be the grocery boy. Excuse me, Dad. Yes? Oh, you...
Miss Davis, I hope that you'll let me apologize.
We have nothing to say to you.
Please don't shut the door before I explain.
Explain? There's nothing to explain. You force your way in here.
I came to apologize for that. Well, have you seen the morning papers?
We're not interested in the papers.
I'm afraid you'll be interested in this one. Look.
Oh, how outrageous.
That story of your father creating an artificial man is in every paper in the country, and I feel I'm to blame, and I want to make up for it. Can't I come in so we can talk?
I guess you'd better, Mr. Jones. But Dad mustn't see this paper.
Oh, no, of course not. Won't he recognize me?
No, I don't think so. He's very nearsighted. I'll just tell him that you used to be one of his students.
And if he'll tell me the real truth, I'll try to get the paper to understand that Dan Duncan just made up his story.
Who is it, Ellen?
It's Ted Jones, Dad, one of your former students. He called to say hello.
Jones?
Yes.
Ted Jones? Oh, yes, of course. Organic chemistry, wasn't it, Jones?
Oh, yes, sir.
You're the one who kept breaking things. Oh, Jones, I have something here you'd be very interested in. Come and see.
Yes, sir.
Look.
That stuff in the tank. That seems to be alive.
It is alive. Synthetic protoplasm, my boy, the first ever created.
It's breathing.
Yes, and it's also growing. Life becomes stronger by the moment.
It's changing color, Dad. Becoming a pale green.
Yes, growing fast. Very fast. I never dreamed that success would come
Hello,
so completely.
Hiya, Dan. I thought I'd find you here.
Why, Dan?
Dan Duncan himself. Hiya, Professor.
What do you want here?
Oh, just a few pictures. Shot of you and your lab, so forth.
You have the nerve to come here after what you've done.
What I've done? You haven't seen anything yet. You and your father are big news now. You're going to be bigger.
Dan, you'd better go.
Better go? I don't follow you, kid.
I said you'd better go. There isn't any story here for you.
No story? Hey, what's eating you? Aren't you here to get a follow-up?
No, I came here to get the truth. Something you wouldn't be interested in.
Hey, what kind of talk is that?
Are you going to go, or will I have to throw you out?
Throw me out? Now listen, kid.
You want me to try it? All right, I will.
Quiet! Oh, okay. Okay, I'm going. Take your hands off me. But don't think you can get away with this. You're fired.
And that's all right with me.
And as for you, Professor, you and your artificial man are going to be so well known in a day or two, you'll be getting offers from Hollywood.
That is part one of Mysterious Traveler, if you believe. They put
nothing like a famous monster. Nothing like a famous monster.
Yes. Yes, it's famous. And a great magazine.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that too. Yes.
Who knew they had fake news back then?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it started off with, if a million people read it, then a million people believe it, or something like that.
Yep.
Thought that was a little odd. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Nothing like the journalism I studied. Well, whatever.
And exactly, Dale. That is not the type. When I studied journalism, nothing like that. No.
No.
It didn't talk of Walter Cronkite per se, but you weren't told to make things up.
Yeah. Well.
That's what we have a National Enquirer for.
Sidebar. I just found my, you know how doctors a long time ago would wear that little reflective mirror on their forehead?
Yes.
Yeah, and I have one because it's part of my mad doctor getup. I just found it. It's been lost for years.
It has resurfaced.
Yeah, I was looking for something else, and there it is. And I was like, all right,
Ghoul.
Mad doctor time. All right.
Dr. Gar Woo-hoo. Will return after these yes. messages. As the stomach turns.
Are you a doctor? No, but I play one on the internet.
Yes.
Something like that, you know?
I used to spoof, what was his name? The surly doctor that had a limp. What was his name?
A
surly doctor, and he had a limp. It was a popular show in maybe 2009.
Like on PBS?
No. It was on network TV.
Oh.
The heck was the name of that show?
Oh. Was that the one that Ted Danson played?
Nope.
Oh,
you know how many surly doctors there are?
House. Yeah.
House.
Yes. House. I used to do Louse MD.
Louse MD.
Oh, okay.
Louse MD. The invisible man's in the waiting room. Tell him I can't see him right now.
Nah.
You know, things of that ilk. Just why I'm not doing it now.
Right.
Great point.
Yeah, some of those punchlines can come back to get you.
Yes. Yes. And coming back to get us is a fake monster, fake news. We'll find out. With the conclusion of Mysterious Traveler, If You Believe.
And so with each edition of the papers, the headlines grew bigger.
Next week, papers read all about it, all about the artificial monster, next week, papers.
The telegraph wires carried editorials condemning Professor Davis.
Is it a man or is it a monster Professor Davis has created? By his refusal to answer questions, the professor led us to suspect that this creation...
Radio commentators spread the story to still more listening millions.
A strange substance like pale green gelatin. Now it moves and stirs in its confinement, seeking to escape. This strange creation of the tentacles.
And speakers denounced Professor Davis.
And I ask you, can science be permitted to venture into these forbidden realms unchecked? Who knows what horror may emerge from the laboratory if we are not careful? This mad thing must be stopped. Stopped!
Who is this?
Oh, it's me, Ted.
Oh. Ted, did you have any trouble?
No, no, I got the medicine for your father, all right, and I brought the evening papers, too.
What do they say?
Pretty bad. They're all using Duncan's story, and he shot the works.
Ted, how can he do such a thing?
Well, he's a very plausible writer. He has a knack for making people believe him. If anybody accuses him of lying, he'll just say that he was misled by your father.
I see. I'm sorry you lost your job trying to help us.
That doesn't matter. I was about ready to quit anyway. How is your father now?
He seems to be sleeping quietly.
Well, I'm sticking around until he's all right again.
Well, you don't have to do that, Ted. I'll make out.
If I hadn't gotten into that fight with Duncan, your father might not have had his stroke.
No, it was just the excitement. It's his heart, but I know how to take care of him. But, Ted, I'm frightened.
About your father?
No. No, about it, the protoplasm.
Oh.
It's changed just since this morning.
It's changed? How?
It's grown and... Well, come on, see for yourself.
All right. Ellen, it seems to be taking on shape.
Yes, and it looks... Oh, Ted, it looks like green gelatin.
Just the way Duncan described it.
And look, there's a vague shape like a head and the rough outline of arms and legs.
Oh, it isn't possible.
It shouldn't be, but it's happening. Something terrible is taking place inside that glass tank.
I don't understand. Your father certainly never intended to create this.
You know, all afternoon I've been wondering if Father really has created it.
I don't follow you, Ellen. You mean some outside force might be responsible?
Ted, you know the old saying, believe in a thing enough and it'll come true.
Yes, of course.
Well, I think that's true. The power of belief is a tremendous thing. People begin to believe that, well, that there's going to be a depression, and there is a depression.
But Ellen...
They begin to believe that strangers and foreigners are enemies, and pretty soon they are enemies. They believe there's going to be a war, and war comes.
Well, that's true, but what are you getting at?
How many people are reading Dan Duncan's story this very minute, right now, while we're talking?
Oh, hundreds of thousands, probably, all over the nation. Maybe a million.
And they all believe it's true.
Well, a good many of them. Yes, Dan has a genius for being plausible.
Then don't you see, Ted? Here in this laboratory is the necessary material for a monster. Mm-hmm. And out there are all those people believing in such a fantastic monster.
You mean a million people are thinking life into the protoplasm?
Yes, Ted. I know it sounds fantastic, but that monster was never created by my father. Dan Duncan created it when he wrote about it.
Well, if that's true...
There's no other answer. Over there in that glass tank is something that's alive only because millions of people believe it's alive.
No, it is alive. There's no telling what it may become. Ellen, we have to destroy it.
It'll break Dad's heart, but we can't let it live.
But it's growing bigger by the minute. We've got to get rid of it now before it grows any larger.
There's acid in those bottles. There, that'll destroy it.
All right. Yeah, I see. Here. Just as soon as I get it open, this will take care of the creature.
Be careful, Ted. It can burn you dreadfully.
Ellen, what's happening? What are you doing?
Dad, darling, you're supposed to be in bed.
Yeah, I'm feeling better. I wanted to see how the protoplasm was.
Please go back to bed, Dot. Your heart.
Oh, my heart's all right, but I must be sure. Oh, it's changed. It's taken on a form.
Yes, Professor, a monstrous, unnatural form.
It has a head, arms, legs. But it can't have. It's only protoplasm. It's all impossible.
Unfortunately, it's true. I can't explain now, but, well, we've got to destroy it.
No, no, the culmination of my life's work. You can't destroy
we
it.
We must, Dad.
No, no, I won't let you.
It's the only thing to do.
Professor, look at it. It's crawling around inside the tank now. It's trying to climb out.
But it can't be dangerous. It's just harmless protoplasm.
Dad, Ted is right. You've got to let us kill it.
It's just protoplasm, I tell you.
It was just protoplasm.
Stand back, Professor. I'm going to empty this acid on
you. No, no, you mustn't. I will...
Dad!
Professor
Dad!
Davis! Professor Davis, look out! Why, the tank. He fell against the tank and broke it.
Is he hurt, Ted?
Oh, I'll see.
Oh. Ted, the protoplasm is moving toward him.
We've got to get him out of here. I have his arms. Quick, you take his feet.
I have
his
feet. Right. Oh, hurry up, Ted. He's trying to crawl out of the tank.
Got to get him upstairs. Can you manage it?
Yes, yes. Keep on.
All right, easy now, easy. All right, just a little farther. All right, one more step, Ellen. There. Now, here's the landing. We can put him down here. Now, easy. Easy. There.
Oh. Ted, I can't find his pulse.
Let me try.
Dad. Ted's no use. He's gone.
I'm afraid so.
His heart failed him. I've always known it would someday. Ted, down in the laboratory.
Yes, it's moving. Look, it's gotten out of the tank and it's crawling all around the lab.
And the only way out is down those stairs and through the lab. We're trapped up here.
Look, I'm not saying it isn't a good story, Dan. It's a whale of a story. But McGuire wants some pictures.
Pictures? How can I get pictures? I can't even get into the place.
I don't care. Just get them.
You want me to bust in the window, I suppose?
Let your conscience be your guide. And I know you haven't got a conscience. But make it fast. I want those shots for the late morning edition.
All right. I'm going. With a camera in one hand and a bunch of skeleton keys in the other.
It's looking for food, Ted.
Yes, and it's getting frantic. Look how it crawls back and forth through the lab. And it's been doing that for an hour now.
Look how enormous it's grown. Suppose it tries to come up these stairs to this balcony.
Well, it may not. It has no eyes, no intelligence. It's just protoplasm, blindly seeking food.
But suppose it does try to come up the stairs.
Well, then we'll stop it. I have the gun here that I found in your father's desk. I'll use that on it.
I don't think it would even feel a bullet.
Well, we'll see. There, it's on the other side of the lab now, in plain sight. Stand back, dear, and I'll try a couple of shots. I hit it.
It didn't even notice.
No. Oh, if we could only reach those bottles of acid, that would fix it.
But every time we've started down the stairs, it's rushed over to wait for us.
Must feel the vibration, but I'm going to take one more try.
Ted, please be careful.
Yes, I will. I'll tiptoe down one step at a time. Perhaps I can avoid attracting its attention this time. What's it doing now?
Lying quiet, as if it was listening.
Only lie quiet a few seconds more. I'm almost at the bottom.
Ted, quick! It's coming this way!
Oh,
Ted, it almost got
yes,
you.
Yes, it did touch my foot, but well, I wasn't interested in getting any better acquainted.
What are we going to do now?
I don't know. Reach that acid. Say, I wonder if it would make any difference if we turned out the lights. They can be controlled from up here, can't they?
Oh, yes, but what good would that do?
Well, in the dark, it might become inactive. Some elementary organisms are like that.
Well, we can try it. Okay, I'll turn out the lights. There. Pitch black now. But it's still moving around.
Well, just wait a moment. Listen.
What is it, Tim?
I heard footsteps outside the house.
Footsteps?
Just listen.
Someone coming in the front door. Yeah, there's someone in the lab.
But who would... Good heavens, Duncan, is that you, Dan?
Dan, answer me. Is that you? Get out. Get out. Quick.
Okay, kid. Keep your shirt on. I'm going as soon as I get a picture of this joint.
But, Dan, you don't understand. It's loose. Get away. Quick. Ellen, turn on that light.
Yes, Ted.
You can't scare me, kid. I came to get a picture, and I'm going to get it.
Run, Dan. Run. Help me. Ellen, don't look. Don't look.
We've got to save
him. Quick, Ellen, the ass.
Hurry, Ted, hurry.
Here, you take this one. I'll take one. We'll break them over it, understand?
Yes, Ted.
Well, come on, then.
He's gone. Duncan's gone.
He's covering him. Eating him. Ellen, throw your bottle now. Sulfuric acid. A quart of it, enough to kill anything.
The acid is burning into it. It's killing it. Ellen is dying.
It's not moving anymore.
It's not breathing either. We've killed it.
It's starting to melt away. It's dissolving.
Now that it's dead, it's turning back into the liquid it started from. The substance that the belief of millions gave an unreal life to.
It's gone back to a liquid now. There's nothing left of it.
It's gone as if it had never existed.
Except for Dan Duncan. Oh, Tim.
There's nothing we can do for him, Ellen. He's dead. He created the monster, and it's killed him.
This is the mysterious traveler again. Well, maybe it's true about believing in things and making them happen. Wars and depressions and artificial monsters and things like that. I think I'll make a New Year's resolution to be careful what I believe in 1947. No more believing in bogeymen or spooks. I might meet one. Instead, I'll try believing in some of the nicer things for a change, such as peace and goodwill among nations. Well, if I can get enough people to join me, maybe they'll come true and... Oh, you have to get off here. I'm sorry. But I'm sure we'll meet again. I take this same train every week at this time.
You've just heard The Mysterious Traveler, a series of dramas of the strange and terrifying. In today's cast were Maurice Tarplin, Chuck Webster, Louise Fitch, Wendell Holmes, Edgar Staley, and Bill Smith. Original music was played by Doc Whipple. The Mysterious Traveler is written, produced, and directed by Bob Arthur and David Kogan. And now, a preview of next week's strange and shivery story by the mysterious traveler.
It's only 2 days now to New Year's Eve. Were you planning a big celebration to greet 1947? I'd be careful if I were you. Because, you see, our story next week is about a man who did just that. In fact, it was such a big celebration that when he got over it, it wasn't 1947 at all. But 1948, he lost a whole year out of his life. And when he finally got the year back, well, what happened to him shouldn't happen to a werewolf. So take it easy, New Year's Eve, so you'll be sure to be on hand next week for the strange and terrifying tale I call New Year's Nightmare.
The Mysterious Traveler is presented from our New York studios. Carl Caruso speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
When a liquid becomes a solid, that's science. When that solid starts talking, that's trouble.
Or starts in
never...
2 minutes.
Or never let your monster use the telephone. There you go. All right.
Show starts in 1 minute.
There you go.
Right. I would think if your liquid starts talking, you've had too much to drink.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It might start drinking you.
Yep. And I can't believe Bill Smith was in this. Can you believe that Bill Smith was in this? That's an alias if I ever heard one.
Yes.
Well, I know Bill Smith, and he says he wasn't there, and he's got an alibi.
Then
no,
I believe it.
An alibi is what you need when you're on my show. That's when you need an alibi.
Ah, okay. Mm.
An alibi?
Alibi?
Alibi.
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 Alibi bye in the 40 Thieves.
Yeah, a little alibi there.
Wouldn't
hurt anybody.
Well, yes, let's squeak a short story in here. I'm curious about this strange adventure, Dave.
We've had one a long, long time ago, and it left such an impression on us we never could remember anything
about it. Got over it.
I think it was like Monkey's Island or something like that. I don't know, but long, long time ago. But, yeah, we... might as well sneak one of these little stinkers in here.
You had me going there, Dale. I thought you were going to tell a short story. And now time for Dale's short story. You know, I was,
No, I'm done after poems.
No, okay. You had me there. I was like, there's a short story? Really?
Strange Adventure, anyway. Dave. Werewolf Island, back on March 30th of... 2018.
Okay, so it wasn't Monkey Island. It was Werewolf Island. Okay.
Yeah, different kind of monkey.
I was close. I was close. You know, monkey, werewolf.
Yeah, they both have tails.
Close.
They both have tails. And they both bite.
And they're both on strange adventures. Okay.
And so is the bronze monster. As we present this very brief story, we'll be back after this lovely tale.
1945.
Strange Adventure.
Thank you, Gar.
A cry of terror went up from the gun deck of the sloop of war. The captain and the lieutenant, who had been talking to the passenger, rushed to the companionway that led below deck. A sight of confused destruction met their eyes. One of the cannon had broken loose, and like a frenzied monster was smashing all before it to rubble. 10,000 pounds of bronze and iron, bent on destroying the ship, was free to work its will. No man, no thing could stand before it. The ship rolled slightly, and the cannon rolled with it, gathering momentum as the deck slanted. Like a demon, it crashed into another gun of the battery, shattering it to bits. Then, as if it had a mind of its own, turned and raced back to smash a gaping hole in the side of the vessel. The gun deck was clear of men, all except one, the man whose cry had given the warning. He lay dead, smashed against the planking of the deck. One of the witnesses of this catastrophe moved. It was the passenger. He elbowed his way between the captain and the lieutenant and descended the ladder to the gun deck, where he stood alone, watching the monster's every move. Then the gun captain came into view. Here was the man responsible for this terrible thing. His was the blame, for it was his task to see that each cannon be properly secured. The gun captain was a brave man, and he came forth now to give battle to this instrument of death. Unarmed, save for an iron bar in one hand and a length of rope fashioned in a noose in the other, he approached. The battle began. Time after time, the man dodged skillfully aside at the very moment when it seemed that he must be crushed to death. Back and forth the fight raged, until at last the end was in sight. The cannon seemed to pause, as though unsure of itself. The man with his back to the bulkhead stepped toward it. Then, like a huge beast of prey, the monster sped straight for the gun captain. He could not move fast enough to avoid it. He was trapped, caught between the cannon and the side of the ship. The passenger, who until now had stood so still as to be unnoticed, came to life. As the cannon hurtled past him, he flung a heavy coil of rope between its wheels. The bronze monster hesitated, ensnared in the hempen coils. The gun captain, quick to take advantage, sprang forward and with his iron bar turned the cannon on its side. He slipped the rope noose over the muzzle and lashed the free end to a stanchion. The monster was subdued. Later, when the damage had been repaired, the crew stood at quarters. The captain turned to the man beside him, the passenger, who was a great general. General, this man who fought the cannon and saved the ship should be rewarded. You, our honored guest, should be the one to do it. The general stepped forward and unpinned the cross of St. Louis from the captain's tunic. He turned to the gun captain and pinned it on his shirt. For bravery, the cross of St. Louis. The general paused for but a moment. For carelessness and neglect of duty, death. This is Pat McGeehan saying goodbye for my writer Charles Crowder and inviting you to listen again to another tale of Strange Adventure.
And strange it was. We seem to have lost our Dave, so...
No.
Why not run right into a moral, if you have one?
Yes, that's the craziest story of suicide you ever heard of.
Yep. Erie House Radio proudly presents Dale's feeble attempt at a moral of the story. When the bronze monster attacks, don't suck at your job or you're going to be fired. That's a moral.
Awful quick on the flush there, weren't you, Dale?
I know. He flushed himself. The heck?
That's right, right. I went down in a spiral. Oh.
Hello. Oh, that's Venturi action has my head spinning.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Oh, I used a big word. that was kind of weird. Being in the military, I don't know if you guys knew this or not. I was in the United States Navy for a while. And before you actually go out onto your ship, you go through all this training, you know.
Yep.
Pre-ship training. I don't know what it's called.
Basic training.
And one of the things, yeah, something like that. Well, it gets a little bit more narrow, pinpoint, more concise.
Yeah.
After you go through the basic training, depending on whatever you're getting into. So
yeah, we had an occupational specialty in the National Guard. But
there you go. OCPS, yeah. Occupational. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that they would do is they'd sit you down and show you these films about a rope. We had nylon rope in the Navy, and we put it under pressure because we tied this huge ship to a dock, and water was constantly pulling that ship away from the dock, and we wanted to stay there. So you get all this tension. Well, what happens with nylon, it can snap, and when it does... It's this whipping action. And they show you this film of people being severed in half. You know, it's
nice.
Like, you need to really be careful. Yeah. And so you're terrified when you first get on there because, like, I'm going to die in 2 days. That nylon rope has my name on it. Well, the same is true about something that's not. Yeah, I'm telling you, yeah, it's scary stuff. And so, but the same is true on board a ship because the ship wobbles high on one side, high on the other, you know, following the waves and all that. And it can get severe. And if you don't have stuff tied down on a ship, it's going to roll and it will kill you. So, yeah, we were privy to all that stuff. Freaky, crazy, fun stuff to go. And this is like, we'd like to give you a presentation before you go to work. And okay, now you can go to your job. You're like, you know.
I don't think I'd be a volunteer to be in any of the Navy movies. Be your first and last one.
Exactly. These training films, yeah. It's like, this was Bernard Schnitzelpuff's first and last appearance in film. Yeah, because he got cut in half.
Rest in peace.
Nice. We got time for one more. We got a lights out
episode.
One more.
Let's do it.
Do saved the best. Best for last, I think. Lights Out.
Oh,
this
yeah.
It's called Creature Off the Film.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah, a wonderful, another wonderful tale from the creative mind of Arch Obler. You know, Rod Serling himself, although he did write some radio before he got into, you know, being writing for television, he thought that radio was a complete waste of the medium. There are very few things that really caught his attention. Of course, the one suspense, The Hitchhiker, that Orson Welles was in, that's something that stuck with him as a young lad up until, or as a young man up until, you know, the time he redid the story himself for Twilight Zone. But he thought that Arch Obler was one of the reasons, one of the guys that really knew how to use the medium of radio, and he respected that.
Hey, kudos from Rod Serling. That's a badge of honor right there.
It is, and Arch Obler certainly was around to hear that as well. So,
yep. And that. For this, we have a made-up air date, and I made it up.
But be there careful. You know, if you pull a date out of your hat, it could be 6 7/8. So you got to be careful.
Wow, you got to watch where you're pulling things out of. Okay, so
yes,
I didn't know where he was going on that.
Remind me not to borrow your hat.
Okay, you guys are getting me here. All right, so I understand that this particular item is listed on a few different websites as an unknown date. However, it was one of the earlier ones, so I gave it the date of October 31, 1936, which is the initial kickoff date for Lights Out.
Lights Out.
Sure.
Everybody.
Arch Obler. Someone asked me what's the most frightening thing in the world. My answer was the familiar. The common everyday thing which suddenly is no longer commonplace. A shutter banging on a windy night when you're all alone. Or your house cat suddenly walking up to you and looking at you with eyes full of nameless cruelty. Yes, the most frightening thing in the world is the familiar suddenly unfamiliar. And that's what our story tonight is about.
And now, Light Out, everybody.
What's the matter with you, Stu? Can't you go any faster?
Well, I got my foot all the way down, boss. This here roller just can't make no time.
Shut your mouth. Trouble with you is you got an answer for everything.
But, boss,
hey, shut up and keep driving. Son of a gun, you talk too much. You get me there late and I'll break your neck.
Well, that old tire blew out.
The tire blew out. So what are those guys care if the tire blew out? A hall full of guys waiting to see my moving pictures. And if I don't show up with the moving pictures, they're going to give the dough back and me, I don't get nothing.
I'll get you there, boss.
You bet your life you'll get me there.
Boss.
Yeah?
You're going to give me some cash money this time, boss.
Are you talking about money again?
Don't get sore, boss. Don't get sore, but... You see, I got to send some money back to my wife in New Orleans. I got it, boss. She's feeling mighty poorly, and I thought if I could send her a couple of dollars...
Shut your mouth.
But, boss, you said the next...
Shut your mouth, I said. You don't shut it, and I'll shut it for you.
Well, it ain't nothing to get sore about,
boss. Now you tell me what to get sore about, huh? Now, listen to me, my friend. You bother me for dough once more, and you know what I'm going to do.
You wouldn't do that, boss.
Yeah. Maybe I should have done that a long time ago.
Wouldn't that sheriff be surprised?
Oh, don't do it, boss.
Sir, I bet you that sheriff, he wouldn't even bother to put you in jail.
No,
he'd
no.
You right
no,
over
no, boss, mob. Don't talk like that. I can't stand talk like that.
Scared you good.
What that mob would do to me. That's what I've always been scared of. I dream about it at night.
Yeah.
I dreamt about it last night. They were chasing me. And then there was noise in my ears, blood in my mouth.
You don't say.
It ain't right, dreams like that. It was you that killed that man, not me, boss. They ain't got a right to blame me.
Shut your mouth. If I turn you in, it's you they'll drag out.
No,
it's your
no.
Neck. Put a rope around.
No, no, boss. No, don't say it.
All right, then. Shut your mouth and keep doing what I tell you to do.
I'll do it, boss. I'll do it. I'll do anything, boss. Just don't turn me over to
all right, all right. Forget it. But remember this. This town I want you to clean out, see? A lot of these oil workers, you know, plenty of dough. We'll clean them out.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir, is right. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to keep those fatheads busy watching my moving pictures, and you get what they got out of their room. Okay, my pal?
Yes, sir, just don't tell anybody, boy.
Got you good and scared, huh? That's the way I like it when they work for me. Scared. Plenty scared.
Started, Mr. Gibson?
Just a minute.
The boy's sure getting impatient out there.
All right. I got to get the film ready, don't I?
Yeah. Hope you ain't going to disappoint the boys, Mr. Gibson.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, the boys around here ain't had a real show for a long time. And they sure be mighty mad if your movie didn't kind of add up to what they want.
Don't you worry. They're going to get their dough's worth. Well, how about it, Slow?
Yes, sir.
You must make quite a bit of money, don't you, Mr. Gibson? Driving this outfit around from tank town to tank town, giving your little...
It's no good. Me, I'm a poor man. I don't make hardly enough to pay Slew here. Do I, Slew?
No, sir.
Well, you're certainly making enough tonight. And if the pitch is real good, maybe the boys will chip in and... Oh, here they go again.
Hey, what's the matter with those guys out there? All right. Tell them to turn out the lights. I'm ready now.
Oh, that's fine. All right, boys. Our little show's ready to begin. Turn out the lights.
All right, Slew, turn on the machine.
Yes, sir.
Well, I better go up front and enjoy myself. I hope it's good.
You betcha. Slew.
Yes, sir.
Get going.
Yes, sir.
Every man in his easy time, see?
Yes.
I want you to get every dollar in cash that's lying around this town. You hear me? Every dollar. If you don't, maybe those dreams you've been having, they're going to come true. Now get going.
How's this one about? Something good?
You bet. One of these here boogie pictures.
Huh?
Oh, you know, one of those monster pictures. Pretty girl, one of these big movie monsters. You know what I mean.
Hey, that sounds pretty good. Boys will like that.
Sure. Hey, I'm a great guy. Like to give the boys what they want.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The longer the boys stay here tonight, the better I like it.
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's have it.
Boss, I...
Talk up. What's the matter with you? I got the last reel on. Talk fast. What did you get?
I didn't get nothing.
Say that again.
I tried, boss. I tried. I swear I did.
What are you trying to give me?
I couldn't get nothing.
Okay, a smart guy. What are you trying to do, make jokes? Come on, empty out your pocket.
Boss,
are you going to empty out your pocket?
Boss, I tell you, I ain't got nothing. See, nothing. Nothing at all.
All right, start talking.
I just couldn't get in anywhere.
Yeah? Every guy in town's here watching those pictures, and you couldn't get in no place, huh? So what's the angle, smart guy? What are you trying to put over on me?
boss, I'm telling you. I couldn't get in no place because he was following me.
He? What are you talking about?
The sheriff.
Sheriff?
Yes, sir, after me all the way.
Don't give me that. The sheriff is sitting right out there.
No, sir, he kept watching me, following me. He came up to me and said for me to get the heck off the street, so that's what I did.
Son of a gun, I give him a free ticket.
Oh, you ain't blaming me, are you, boss?
Okay. So that wise guy, he ain't so smart. We stick around overnight. Mm-hmm. We do another show tomorrow. Yeah. And tomorrow I'm going to see to it personally that the sheriff, he's going to be right down in front there watching that picture.
As long as you don't blame me, boss.
Me? No, I don't blame you. Come here, my friend.
Well, what do you want, boss?
Come here.
Hmm?
Look through the hole in the wall and watch the moving pictures.
Well, what picture are you showing, boss?
Why, the one you like so much. The one all about the monster.
No, sir. I can't watch that.
Get over there.
Boss,
go on.
Boss, you're hurting my neck.
And look, enjoy yourself.
Oh, I'm scared to watch that picture. You know that.
Sure. That's just why you're going to watch it.
Oh, no.
Your friend, the monster. Look at him. He's crawling around all over that screen. Sure scares you, don't he?
Oh, I can't look.
Open your eyes or I'll break your neck.
You're hurting me.
Okay, you keep your eyes open. That monster, he always scares you, don't he? Just a moving picture and you scared like that. Okay, the end of the picture. Now I'll let you go, my friend. All right, shut the machine off. Go ahead. You ain't scared to do that, are you?
No.
Well, Mr. Gibson, that is a fine show you gave us. Yes, sir.
Okay. Everybody's happy, and me, I'm happy, too.
Yeah. The funny thing, I guess the boys liked that last one, the monster picture, better than they liked the other ones. Now, what do you think of that?
Yeah. Well, Slew here, he don't like it.
Scares him, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I can't exactly blame him. Sure beats all how them Hollywood folks fix up critters like that. Most gosh-awful critter I ever did see. But I guess the boys like being scared. They told me to tell you if you want to give another show tomorrow, they're all for it.
Yeah?
Yep.
Sure, I'll stay overnight.
Oh, that's fine. Fine. Now, if you'd like me to find a place for you, I got a couple of rooms.
No, that's all right. Me, I can bunk right here. Slew can sleep in the truck.
Well, all right. I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah.
You want me to do something, boss?
What do you think? Go on, disconnect the projector. I'm going to take a look out in the hall and make sure everybody's gone.
Yes.
So, want me to stick around, huh? Yeah. Everybody went home all right? Hey, Slew.
Yes, sir, boss?
Come on out here and help me take the screen down.
Yes, sir.
No way. Shut that projector off first.
What'd you say, boss?
I said shut the projector off. What's the idea of starting running that film again?
What'd you say, boss?
I said stop running that film.
Film?
Yeah, film. Stop it off. Come in there and break your neck. Shut it off. You hear me? Shut it off.
Boss, I ain't running that machine.
What?
The machine ain't running, boss.
Ain't running?
No, sir.
Okay, I'll fix you. Smart guy, huh? I'll fix you. I'll show you to make jokes with me.
Boss, what's the matter? I ain't done nothing.
Tell me you ain't running that projector. I'll break your neck.
Look for yourself. It ain't running.
Ain't running? What's
the matter, boss?
It is running. It's got to be running.
But it ain't, boss. You can see it ain't. Boss, what's the matter with you? What's the matter?
Look. Look out there.
Where?
Out there on the screen. You. You see it, too?
That monster from the picture.
But the machine ain't running.
No.
Not even filming.
Boss, what's throwing that picture on the screen? Look.
It's moving. It ain't on the screen. But it's coming off. It's coming down the aisle.
A great place to take a break after part one of Lights Out. This creature's coming right off the film.
Yeah, it's almost as scary as my ex-wife's attorney.
That's right. As we celebrate Halloween week here on Erie House Radio, the last of our features tonight, Lights Out. Tomorrow we'll be back with some more goodies. We'll go over the whole schedule. We'll have a little time at the end to let you in on what we're doing the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Having the creature come down the aisle like that reminds me of, like, The Tingler and many of the films that guy did. Can't remember his name.
Bill Castle.
Bill Castle, yeah, he'd have people walking down the aisles and touching you, and they were dressed up like skeletons, or he'd have ghosts flying throughout the theater.
Yeah, he was probably one of the last to, at least on a bigger format, to do the live spook shows.
Yes, and this is exactly like the live spook show stuff, or very similar, too.
Creeping down the aisle. Radio, Dave, did we not cover Bill Castle, I think, one night?
We did one day, yeah, and that was an interesting guy. I think he had some different clips and such, even of Mr. Castle himself.
Uh-huh.
Kind of doing the Hitchcockian thing to present his movies.
Yep.
The last film that he had ties to, according to his daughter, is the one that broke his heart, which was Rosemary's Baby. And he got involved with it, and then so many people felt angered and upset by it, it just broke his heart. He never recovered from it. That's what she said. It was just very sad.
It is. He was a cool guy. I mean, when we covered him, he did a lot of fun stuff in the theater.
Exactly.
And what
have you. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and horror at the time where you look at Rosemary's Baby and look at the direction horror was going, it was not the, the fun, jovial, getting spooked is fun type entertainment. It was delving more into your psyche and other things. And Rosemary's Baby is pretty dark. So it wasn't real. I can't really say that's a Castle film, although you go look it up, you know, his name's right there, but not really in the vein of what he had done most of his career.
No, and I think that did signify that era right there as the turn to the darker side of horror from what we grew up with.
My cutoff date's about 1965, but that's definitely inclusive of that film as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He did some fun stuff. I like the electric shocks in the Tingler.
Oh, yeah, in the seats of the buzzers.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the Tingler.
Oh, I can see the lawsuit now.
House of Holland Hill, he had those skeletons that came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were on a line, on a string.
Well, that's the one that we redid at Monster Fest Mania.
Yeah, yes. But the problem with that was the kids would go see it, want to see what was going on, then they'd come back with pea shooters and with slingshots and shoot at them as they go over. Theaters had to stop the promotion of it.
That's a shame. Damn kids.
Were they suspended high enough that an audience member could not touch them?
Yes.
Okay. Because I would say if they were too low, the kids would grab them, you know.
Well, that's what necessitated the pea shooters. That's where the pea shooters come
in. And the slingshots, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, and the
slingshots.
Slingshot,
yeah. He lost an arm. You know, I mean, you put like a ball bearing in a slingshot, you got a weapon. So, yeah, you can take off a skeleton's arm.
Sounds like the voice of experience there.
I have no idea of that which you speak.
Details at 11.
Details
right,
at 11.
Let's wrap up. Lights out, creature off the film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's dark in here.
It is dark.
It's radio. It's always dark.
Here, it'll come back here.
No, no.
Don't come outside. I swear it don't come. Can't be alive. Yeah, there it is. Shut your face and don't move. Look at it. How can such a thing be? From a moving picture and it's alive.
Don't burst on its eyes.
Green. Its mouth. Most teeth. My eyes don't seem right. Something.
ain't done nothing. Keep your hands off of me, see?
Calm down out of there. The little guy, too.
I ain't done nothing, mister. I ain't done nothing. Me, I ain't done nothing.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, I say. What's the matter with you guys? Mr. Gibson here, he's the guy who gave us the moving picture tonight.
Sure, I ain't done nothing. What's the matter with you guys?
I ain't done nothing. I swear I ain't done nothing.
Shut up, both of you.
Listen, Garmin. That's where that girl was killed just now, and these two guys are the only strangers in town.
No, I'm an honest man. I ain't done nothing.
Yeah.
Mr. Gorman, he knows that. Go on, tell him, Mr. Gorman.
Gibson's all right. Gave us a good show tonight the way it's promised, didn't he?
Yeah, but that won't bring Doc Murdock's show, huh?
Oh, that's a little bad. Not me. I ain't done nothing. Honestly, I ain't done nothing.
Wait a minute. Take it easy, boys. I'll handle it.
Sheriff, listen. The boys are going nuts. They think that Mr. Gibson...
Sheriff, I tell you, ain't done nothing. I'm an honest, hard-working...
All right, hold it. You may not have done anything, but how about that assistant of yours?
Oh, no, sir, boss. I ain't done nothing. I swear I ain't. I swear to
you. Shut up! Weren't you sneaking around the street while the show was going on?
I...
You don't have to say nothing. I saw you. I saw you myself. Now, take it easy, boys. Give him a chance here.
Boss, you tell him where I was. You know I wasn't killing anybody. You tell him where I was.
Well, Mr. Gibson, where was he?
Don't ask me. I don't know where he was or what he was doing.
Boss, tell him. Tell him about that thing. I had to do it, boss. Tell him.
I'll tell him nothing. I don't know nothing, see? Nothing.
Boss.
Maybe you did do it. How do I know?
No, boss, you know I didn't. You know that thing came off the screen.
Boss, let me get away. Boss,
let me go. Won't get me.
Don't let him get away.
Okay, thank you very much. You ran away, they ran after you and me. I got a whole town to clean out all by myself. I don't know what this is all about. That monster coming off the screen and all that stuff, but maybe it's all a lucky break for Mike Gibson. Yeah.
I've never done nothing. I always try to be a good man. Always try. Hide in the swamp. You won't get me. Oh, it's so dark. You can't see. Oh, they want to chase poor Slow Boy. What for? I gotta get away. Oh, boss, why didn't you tell him that Slow didn't do nothing? Why didn't you help Slow? Slow always done what you asked him to, didn't he? Sure. Slow did everything you asked him. Even when he didn't want to do it. Oh, you should have helped Slow, boss. You should have helped him. Gotta get away. Yeah, kill me. I ain't done nothing. Nothing. I'm tired. The thing is tearing at me. Oh, I gotta rest. Heaven never find me. Oh,
never find me here.
It's dark. Oh, I'm scared. Boss, why did you tell him what was right about Blue? Why didn't you tell him?
Well, I didn't do it.
Yeah, it was that thing. That thing out of the moving pictures. You know that. Yeah, that thing. I saw it, too. Roll right off the screen. Roll right along the aisle. Green. Sort of looking here and there, the awful eyes shining. I saw it, and he saw it. And it did it. It killed her. Oh, Lord Almighty, where is it now? Where is it now? Dogs. They got dogs after me. They're still after me. Them dogs are tracking me down. I didn't do it. What are they chasing me for? What are they chasing me for? Walk in the water.
The dogs won't find me then. Ah, they won't find me then. Mud, water, oh, they can't find me now. The dogs can't get me now. Can't get me. They won't get me. Oh, not me. I never hurt nobody. If I stole it was because he made me do it. The boss, yeah, he made me do it. I had to do what he said. Oh, I've never been strong. You can't kill a man for not being strong. I dreamed about it. Oh, but I won't die like that. No, no, not me. I want to live. I got a right to live. Oh, so closer, closer. I got to get away. Got to. Water deeper. I can't swim. Help me. Help me. Oh, I can't swim. Oh, listen to me. Listen, though. The monster. Ask the boss. The boss will tell you. I can't swim. What is going on? I can't swim.
Open their eyes when they come home and find out I clean them out. Yeah. You blasted motor, you keep going. Gotta get out of here. Yeah, a long way out of here by morning. Hey, shooting. I bet you that's the end of Slough. Yeah. Nice going, Mike. Getting rid of Slough and making yourself a nice piece of change. Yeah. It's been a crazy night. Even got me talking to myself. Those funny things I see, that monster crawling off the screen. Nah, I didn't see it. Nobody saw it. Something I thought I saw. Yeah, just something I thought I saw. Sure, it's only in my head. The thing was on the film. It can't come off the film. You throw it on the screen, there's nothing but the light. Sure, that's it. What I saw was in my head. Oh, you... Well, go ahead, miss. Now I'm going to get me a new truck. Yeah, you bet your life. Brand new truck. The smart guy's running off after Slough. They got Slough and I got all that dough out of that bank. Monster. What's the matter with me? Yeah, it sure was funny. Yeah, but I saw it crawling down the aisle. Oh, no, I never saw it. Slough, he... Yeah, Slough. Gotta get me a new assistant now. Well, that doesn't be too hard. Assistant. Hey, what the heck is that? Get out of the way, you. What in the... Hey, get out of the way! Dog. Big dog running ahead of the truck. Get out of the way, you blasted dog! No. No, dog, it's that thing. The thing out of the moving picture running ahead of me. It can't be. It can't, but it is. Thing out of the film. All right, I'll show you. I'll run it down. Run it down. Faster, truck. Gotta go faster, faster, faster. Gotta kill it. I got her. They'll blame me. Everywhere I go, they'll blame me.
Come from?
I don't know.
But you mean to tell me that the monster was the one that was in the motion picture and it came to life out of the motion picture? I mean, the movie projector stopped and what was on the screen stayed on the screen and Then came out of the screen?
It's an interesting idea, isn't it?
Oh.
Hedy Lamarr is on the screen, and you wait until the last show is over, and she comes out of the screen, and you say, how about a double chocolate malted, Hedy? And she says...
Oh, what's the use?
That's exactly it. What's the use? If all the twos and twos of the world added up to a very dull four, how boring life would be. And if life is boring, at least we can let our imagination have fun.
Yep, that's what it's all about, letting your imagination have fun with Eerie House Radio. Every day this week, Halloween holiday week. Tomorrow we'll be back with more stuff, but first, there's this. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's moral of the story.
A two-dimensional monster is fun and entertaining. Most three-dimensional monsters usually point towards man. Or...
Ooh.
About half of swimming is embracing your inner tadpole. Or... Concerning driving, it's more important to be able to stop than go. There you go.
Or
always clean your oar.
Or what? Anyway.
Or if you're going to be walking through a swamp, be sure. Or if you're going to be walking through a swamp, make sure you can hold your breath a very long time.
Yes.
Some fun chat in our Blog Talk Radio chat here as you're listening to these shows is we were discussing some of the old-time black and white greats from Universal, Frankenstein, Dracula, Mummy, Dr. Jekyll. And one came up that both CW and I and Gar like very much is The Old Dark House with Karloff and Charles Laughton. And Ernest Seisinger from Bride of Frankenstein. And it is a Todd Browning? Todd Browning. I think it's a Todd Browning.
Could be. My only misgiving about The Old Dark House is unfortunately due to the technology. It actually is an old dark house. It's too dark, if you view it. I mean, it's really dark. And I wish it wasn't, so we could see some of the details, nuances that are going on. And unfortunately,
was the old dark house, not the new bright mansion. Come on.
Well, even the new shiny mansion has dark places. I was going to get it out there eventually, but
it's where the dust bunnies hide.
Well, they got to hide somewhere.
How about the deep urban? Unkempt, never mind.
Yeah.
Broken down porch house.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Yeah,
those are kind of scary sometimes. Yes,
well, that is the beginning of your haunted house right there. You get a house somebody moves out of and it doesn't sell very quick. You give it some time. Eventually, everyone starts saying it's haunted. Yeah.
Have you seen? And I have, but I'm just curious if anybody has seen anything that's come out yet about Rob Zombie's upcoming movie, The Munsters?
No. Aside from they rebuilt the set as close as they could to the original, and they've got a really good cast, I got nothing.
Yeah, same here. The cast,
the makeup,
pictures
great.
Of the cast, they don't look, they don't
great.
Look bad.
Yeah, I really like the way Grandpa looks.
Yeah, he's different, not... Exactly like old Grandpa,
no,
but he has an interesting look.
Not,
a really Herman-looking Herman. That looks pretty good.
Yeah,
and
so
his wife
Lily
is going to play Lily.
You know, good. Looks okay.
Sherry Moon Zombie is going to play Lily Munster. My biggest fear is we're talking Rob Zombie here. And I hope he does not overdo gore or adult themes. Keep the monsters the monsters, please.
I beg you. It's a comedy vehicle, right.
Yes. Well, he tends to make comedy out of gore sometimes. He has done that in some of his...
Very seldom does taking taking, retaking one of these things work. I think the first Addams Family movie kind of worked. But, you know, it just, you know, they've already rebooted it on TV and it flopped the Addams Family and the Munsters. And, you know, leave it alone. Try make something different.
Yeah. Well, and the thing of it is, there's only going to be one Ted Cassidy. There's only going to be one John Astin. There's only going to be one Fred Gwynn. There's only going to be one Yvonne DiCarlo. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
just want to run across the people that have tried it with all their artistic license, and I want to take away their brushes.
Yes.
Yep.
No,
but there, but Dale, there were two. There were two Darren Stevens. So you know.
True. No, but each of the ones I think that I've mentioned have carved out their place and their characters to the point where it's very difficult to accept. It's like the Three Stooges. How many times they've tried to redo that? Although the last Stooges movie, I have to say, was a nice homage and fairly well done.
Hey, speaking on what Dave said, you know what wouldn't have worked in Bewitched? If they would have swapped out Elizabeth Montgomery with some other actress.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have worked. Nope. I think she nailed it.
Margaret Hamilton.
Wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
If you got Margaret, the redhead, what's her name? The redhead, the dancer, Elvis Presley.
Kim
Margaret.
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 I
know who you're.
Margaret.
Thatcher.
Thatcher. No. She was in the Dirty Old Man.
Ann Margaret.
Ann Margaret. Okay.
That's
yeah, that one.
Ann Margaret.
Thank you, CW.
There you go.
Oh boy. Now, if she would have taken over Bewitched, maybe it would have worked if she would have figured out how to twitch her nose, which actually was not her twitching her nose. It was her doing, moving her mouth, and it just looked
Moving her mouth underneath her nose with her mouth closed,
And by saying and that, Gar, I think what you really mean is, what are we doing for the rest of Halloween week? Why, I'm glad you asked.
There you go.
It was on my mind. It's scream time. We're going to have an Inner Sanctum, a Bradbury 13, and a Midnight Cab. Let's see, Thursday, Eerie Houses, plural, because we got three tales there. Black Mass, CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and Mole Mystery Theater. Now, that's a two-hour show. All right, and Friday, the Great Apes, Murder at Midnight, the Apes Song, and then... The only thing we know is it's not from 1938, King Kong. That's right. We're going to present an audio presentation of King Kong Friday night. And then what is our annual take for War of the Worlds? It's live from Buffalo back in 70-something?
I think it was 72, the original date on that, yeah.
Yeah. So the local local staff put together a... recreation of War of the Worlds, and we're going to hear that.
And just as Orson Welles updated it in 1938, they updated it in 1972, and they got a lot of local landmarks and things like that in there. It's really cool.
Don't miss it if you can, and that would wrap up our Halloween week, and the fun has only just begun. I think we already sprung out a little secret last week, but Lord Bloodraw will be joining us November 6th. As we host an episode of Inner Sanctum, I think. Something. No, CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Excuse me. That'll be November the 6th.
Right?
A Saturday.
Yeah, that'll be a mystery theater. Right. That's on Time Change Weekend. So we got some time traveling going on. Actually, telephone time travel stuff. Yep.
Yep. Time to get old Vince in here to wish everybody a good night. We'll see you tomorrow at 7:30 Eastern right here on Eerie House Radio.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And him.
When
thanks,
next
everyone.
We meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Lib Lib.
Perfect. Perfect.
Are you?
Almost perfect. Half a second. That's a half a second.
That's so funny how even our timers and when it goes off is different, Dale.
I know.
Not only that timing from there, but yours and mine. So.
No, but we all seem to be talking to each other in real time. It's not like I'm answering a statement.
Yeah,
thank
God
ago.
We don't depend upon their clock to get things done, that's for sure.
No. We use our internal instincts, our guts, our knowledge, our experience, and a lot of luck.
A lot of luck. What about this notion? This would be, I think this would be a very funny War of the Worlds variation or I can't think of the word, would be this. An All in the Family War of the Worlds. Like,
Archie,
there's something in the window over there. There's something on the radio.
Oh, geez, it must be one of Meathead's hippie friends there.
Yeah. Meathead, we gotta leave. The aliens are coming over here. Yeah, it would be crazy.
I did see the aliens come for Al Bundy's side.
Yeah, Arch,
in one episode.
You know, Arch, you asked for that, Arch. You did.
Uh-huh.
You did. You asked for that, Arch. Always making fun of them. And now they're after you, Arch. It's all on you.
That's it. And then I don't know what Sally Struthers would say. Yeah, just cry.
Yeah.
I mean, she did a great cry, okay? I mean, you got to give Sally Struthers had the chops for that was comedic crying that everybody waited all week for just to go, you know.
Yeah.
It was kind of like she like carried on the tradition from Lucille Ball, you know.
Yep.
And so that was fun. You could have the entire All in the Family thing going on there, and then there's a knock at the door, you know, and it's Maude talking about the invasion. You know, she could come in.
There you go.
You know, that would be kind of fun. I mean,
then Mr. Jefferson would be coming in from next door. Hey, you pay this bill before the Martians land, will you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go.
I don't know. It's hard to top Mars Attacks for me. That was just so awesome.
Oh, that was. That Mars Attacks was just. See,
first
again,
of all, you had
a million stars
in it. You had a million stars in it.
It did.
And Nicholson several times.
Yes. But there was gore in it. So, see, it's where we get to an acceptable amount. Well, no, you had alien heads blowing up. I mean, yeah.
Well, that was fun, but it was kind of comical, they didn't dwell on it.
Of course.
It's not like taking a chainsaw to somebody. You're just blowing them up, man. You're blowing up a CGI head.
With really bad music, which is actually I enjoy the Indian love song myself, but that's me. But there's something called Into the Shadows, which is out now, which is a vampire comedy, and there's gore in it. I mean, there's some gore in there, but it's comedy, you know.
Guaranteed to get rid of Martians and make their ships crash.
Yeah, loved it. It was great. But Dale, have you seen any of those things I'm talking about? The vampires living together.
Vampire? Yes, I've seen that. What that British show?
I think it's American.
Is it?
It's four vampires that live together. It's a woman and three guys. One is an energy vampire. He's bald.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of a different show, a British show with monsters or something.
Okay. Well, it's a comedy.
Cohabitating.
But, and
it was like almost like a reality show or something.
Yes. That's the one. Yes. I didn't know that it was from the UK, though.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, there's a movie. And then there's the TV series, but they're both tied together. They are one and the same concept.
Ah.
So it could be either or, but yeah. So yeah, we have comedy. We have this is going to sound really bad, but how desensitized I've become. I can watch the TV series The Walking Dead while eating a meal.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they can dismember anybody they want and cut off his head. I don't, let me have some more. Yeah.
I got lost after like season, I want to say 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. I think, you know when they lost me? When Rick went off the show, I think. That's when they lost me.
Right.
Even though there's other characters I really, really liked on the show. It's like, oh, man, this was his story. How do you do this? This was his story.
I agree.
Started with him.
You okay over there, Dave?
Yeah, that's why you never argue with a producer. You get cut, man.
Yep.
Are you getting cut?
You get cut if you argue with the producer.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a zombie, it could cost you an arm and a leg.
Oh! Hey!
Or a leg.
There you go. One more for the show. But
how do you know when a leopard jumps on a card?
Yeah. I've watched quite a... Okay, my deal with The Walking Dead is, no, I'm not going to watch it. No. And then about 2 years into it, I go, let me watch it. I watch it. I was like, oh, let me back up and watch the first thing.
Yeah.
So I had to go back and, figure it out. And then I was like, oh, yes.
I think Rob Zombie did that to me to a larger degree with House of 1,000 Corpses and Devil's Rejects because, again, there was comical elements. Some of the characters were over the top deliberately in their sadistic. But it's gross and it's extremely adult. It's certainly not something you want kids to watch. And so I only like it so much, but it's so different that I like them. Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's extremely adult, I'm not allowed to watch it.
You're not?
Yeah, exactly.
The cat won't let him.
Yeah.
Covers your eyes. Meow. You can't watch this.
Cat won't let me change it from that doggone cat channel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I wish they had a collie channel. Honest to God, this guy's full of energy.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much fun.
And when 60 pounds a dog is full of energy.
He's up to 60 pounds already?
Yeah.
What, are you feeding him candy corn?
No.
Well,
no one should ever eat candy. Candy corn is evil.
Yeah, it is.
That was what I threw out of the bag at Halloween. Did you have things that you did not like that you got at Halloween?
I never liked the Mary Jane peanut butter chew thing. Never got into that.
I don't even know if I remember those.
I
remember some of Mary Jane's, but I don't remember the peanut butter thing.
It's a Mary Jane peanut butter flavored chew.
Did you have
it's
to
like
light it?
But it's peanut butter. I didn't know.
Did the guy in the corner just call it a Mary Jane candy?
No, that's what it said on there.
Did you have to light it to enjoy it, or how does that work?
Not that I know about.
Suck on this one, dude.
It
looks
was
like I was trick-or-treating in the wrong neighborhood there.
I guess so.
Sure came your way. But,
when I want to think about things that got discarded, that was one. It was a peanut butter-flavored taffy, and I didn't get into it.
Oh, I would have liked that. I think I would have if it was halfway decent. I liked naturally all the Nestle's kind of stuff. Although I didn't go for coconut candy. Yeah.
And I never from well, yeah,
texture.
Pretty much. I can't think of a candy bar per se that I would say no to as a kid.
Yeah.
Almond joy would be one. Almond joy would be when I'd trade. I take anything, but I try and trade. What's that?
Yeah.
You didn't go for the almonds?
No.
Yeah, okay.
It's like peanuts. I like peanuts, but I don't like them in my stuff. I like peanuts by peanuts, you know?
I always got this one, and it was such a great value. And it only cost me, like, I don't know, back then probably 79 cents, and it was a $100,000 bar.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Love those.
Yeah.
Caramel.
Such a great,
rice.
Such a
maybe.
Great value.
Oh, my gosh. That was, wow. That was, yeah.
I never
like
got
that
full
one.
Resale
I,
on it, though. Yeah.
Yeah. And a twist on that one, the Marathon bar, which is a twisted chocolate caramel type.
Oh, those were good. Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had one. They had some crazy ones. They had one called a whatchamacallit.
Yep.
And that
I remember whatchamacallits.
Yeah.
And what
and
were
then,
the ones they had? They were not nerds. Were they nerds? Or no, something else.
There was something called nerds.
Yeah.
There was something. I don't remember ever getting this, but it might have. Tangy Taffy. And wow.
Oh, yeah, Tangy Taffy. I didn't like gummies of any kind. I wasn't a gummy person.
No.
Still don't.
No.
Still don't like them. No, no gummies.
Still, no. No, I'm not there.
It's stuck in your teeth and bleh.
Yeah.
No gummies. It's either real worms or nothing. That's what I say.
Yeah, I was digging out some of my Halloween fare, and I ran across. It's called TV Hero Costume by Bill Cooper, Bozo
yes.
the Clown, and I've got it in a box here, a Bozo costume from Ben Cooper. I've got Bozo, Witchy Poo, Mandrake the Magician, Batman, Superman. And a bunch of the, they were Ben Cooper, Harry, and Scary, and it's like Dracula and Vampire and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I've
those
got quite
Ben Cooper masks were
ben
everywhere.
Cooper. Yeah, it's cool. You can't find these, like you're not going to go to the drugstore or
no.
Walmart and find these anymore. They don't exist.
Yep.
So it's kind of fun to run across these, and I'm going to be showing them this Saturday on the program. I always pull out the costumes and show what once was the most amazing Halloween times this world has ever seen.
Yep, and that had to be like the 60s and the 70s.
Right, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, and when there would be a new superhero or something, Ben Cooper would make another mask, you know, or a new monster, they'd make another mask.
They do another one. Oh, there's some of these that I would love to get, but I can't. They cost too much.
You want
the
princess
people that have
one.
Them.
I know you do.
Mm-hmm.
What?
No.
No, I just said you want the princess one. I know you do.
No. No. The Banana Splits had a series of,
I do.
Of costumes. And you want a princess one?
Yes.
Now,
I
those you can get
one.
At Walmart. But
I think I'd make a damn pretty
possibly,
princess.
Possibly even in your size. you can get those now. Buddy, it's a different world. Anyway, running across all the good fun Ben Cooper
it is.
Stuff.
Did you live through any periods where you had to have homemade costumes?
I want to say that I was fortunate enough not to. But I don't recall ever cutting holes in bed sheets and doing anything like that, or disguising myself as a pirate maybe 1 year yes, but it would have been something fun where you put makeup on your face like a pirate or something with a fake mustache.
I had an aunt who was like a seamstress at a hospital, okay, for her regular job.
There you go,
and she made, and of course it was handed down from. From the older kids to the younger kids. And we had this clown costume that was actually pretty cool, with the ruffles and the fuzzies and everything. And
mm-hmm.
of course, you got your face painted up, which I like that a lot more than, quite honestly, the Ben Cooper masks or other similar type masks.
Right.
You'd get hot and sweaty, and they would smell funny. That plastic had a distinct odor to it that I didn't like a whole lot.
Yeah, it was funny. That's funny you say that. I ran across a 1966 Corgi Batmobile, and I opened it up, and when I did, there was an odor, a smell. And I was like, that's the smell like when you first opened it out of the package. That was the smell.
Yeah, yep.
And I've got some Mego action figures here from the 70s, and you open them up, and it's the original smell. There's nothing added or anything. And it's like, it takes me back even more. Memory
yeah,
list.
When I run into somebody who's got an old stash of like magazines or comics, that there's a smell to that too. That musty
there
old
paper
smell that I just I love that
mm-hmm.
smell. It takes me back.
Well, the comic book stores, you'd walk in there, you got hit with it. It was great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they had boxes full of the old stuff, like especially the low-cost, not-as-collectible books. They'd have boxes and boxes of them.
Oh, yeah. Waiting to be bought out.
Well, you never know. Something catches on later. You know, there's a new fad or whatever. They resurrect a character, and he suddenly becomes a hit because they reinvent him or whatever.
I'm surprised at the amount of toys and fun stuff I have. Fun for me, probably nobody else, but I enjoy it.
Oh, no, you like cool stuff, dude. That's clear. You and I have some similar interests in toys and fun things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got our robot fix.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I still have them talk to me daily.
I was looking for something during the broadcast, this broadcast, and I opened a drawer. I was like, oh, hey, it's the B9. There you are. Okay, so, because I have my stuff put away in a drawer somewhere.
He's very handy.
Don't run across it on a daily basis. So
I do. He's just out of reach of this headset, or I'd grab him.
So I tested both of mine, and then I reboxed them, and they are secreted away for later digging out.
Yep.
And I'm not set up for display, so all my stuff is actually in those plastic bins.
Neither am I. After a time, they'll get dusted and put away, but the box will be on display.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
I have a few racks here that have cool stuff on them.
Think of your entire display as just the empty box. It's like, well, where's the actual thing? Oh, that's safe. Here's the box.
Hey, that's the thing with the old toys. The toy is great and valuable, but if you got it with the box, then you got some serious money.
Yeah, exactly. That's because I have some robots that are old that I didn't get the box with it. I think I have some cars and stuff that are battery operated and don't have the box with it. But if I had the box, oh boy. It's really strange how collectors are so weird about that box thing.
In a way,
retrained me on how to open a box.
It's comparable to, I think, condition. You know, whether it's a magazine or a comic book, naturally, the better condition it's in, the better value it's going to do. Well, in a way, the box is part of the condition of the toy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like you mentioned,
but it's also advertising, illustrations, you know, what do they put on there?
Oh, yeah.
It's,
the marketing,
it's
the artwork.
It's all one part of the experience is not only seeing the boxing, if they did use some rather unique boxing, but also what's inside.
Yep.
But Halloween, man, I just remember, I don't know, it felt like 3 hours worth of marching.
Yes.
You know, to get home and then dump that pillowcase you used as a container, you know, and see what you got.
I remember we would come back with the sack and then fill up like grocery bags, just filled to the top. I think the wildest year we ever had, we had like each of us had two huge bags full, like all the way to the top, not folded down. Regular grocery size bags filled with frickin' candy. My God.
I got a rock.
We ended up having to give some away. It was too much. And you got a rock.
I got a rock. Yeah.
Like Charlie Brown, I got a rock.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this. Did you get like, were you sore when somebody like threw a few coins in your thing instead of candy?
Not
I remember some kids saying they didn't like that. Some kids said they didn't like that. It took away from the spirit.
Yeah, don't give me money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm like in my 60s. I'd love to go to door-to-door.
Yeah, can I have a dollar?
Give me money.
Can I have a dollar?
Adult Halloween. Adult Halloween condoms and liquor.
Oh, boy. All right, whoa. Pull that bicycle
all
right, over.
Sorry about that.
We're
kidding
no,
about
today
that.
That's called
for adult Halloween, yay.
Today that's called panhandling.
Yes.
And I don't know about your state, but it's illegal here. knock, knock, hey, could I have a dollar? You know.
Yeah.
So. Most of the fun stuff about the Halloween was you were so tired, you know, you got a good night's sleep, you wake up the next day, and then boom. Okay,
I think you're wired on sugar again.
Well, you're
That's
wired
right.
on sugar.
Right,
and,
right.
And then it's time to roll into the next fantastic holiday. I used to like that they were three holidays in a row. I mean, it kept you going for 3 months, you know. And now the retailers are wrapping it all up into one big ball of garbage. But yep. that's
right. They were almost a month apart, each of them, you know.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, almost.
Like
yeah.
I have said, if you take and you made an advent calendar for each one and retailers had to follow that, this was my whole deal. These holidays are emotion charged. The emotion for Halloween is spooky, fun, and kind of tricky funny, you know. The one for Halloween is more about family and relationships. And Christmas can be dual fault, but one of those faults is elves and Kris Kringle and Rudolph and all that. You know, there are three different emotions tied to these things. And as when they did the retail thing for these, the selling of these items, if they move towards selling that emotion, then they're going to get all the money they need.
Yeah.
But when they ball it up so you've got Christmas in June, that's just no fun, okay?
It's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, see, as a kid, I didn't think, you know, just like Thanksgiving didn't mean as much to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I wasn't as wild about eating like I am now. Being old married guy.
It was, well, for
I
me,
look
it wasn't
far
eating,
more
family,
far, but... forward to Thanksgiving far more than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you about my wife's cooking.
I enjoyed the family get-together stuff. It was pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah, you
know,
have my
sometimes
family.
That's true. The other side of that would be... some relatives you didn't see except that one time of year because they were out of state and they would come in.
Right.
You know, there might be, you know, a family member that you really, really like to sit down and talk with or play checkers or whatever, you know. And
true. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So, I mean, I recall there were a few folks that came in we never got to see. And then you got to see them and they were a very intriguing individual. And it was like, oh, wow, check you out.
Did
you know,
win?
I don't remember.
At checkers, I mean.
I don't. I'm more.
They're coming for you. They're coming for you. I hear them.
Oh, they're already here.
I think
they're
coming for you. Oh, they already.
They're coming for me. I'm not opening the door.
Yeah, I just leave it. Yeah, I just don't open the door. Yeah. I found out I was better versed in chess than checkers. Don't know why, but. Checkers is just...
Maybe you got bored with checkers and your mind drifted.
I have no idea.
I know people like that. If they're not challenged enough, they get bored very easily.
I have a very strange book called The Chess Mysteries of Sherlock Holmes that they give you this puzzle. It says, okay, these are the last four pieces that were on the board. Can you go back and recreate the entire game?
Wow.
I was like, what? Yeah.
That's a challenge.
It is. And when the guy explains it, you go, oh, yeah, of course, yeah. It's very interesting. But, you know, you have to have a brain that works that way. But
that works backwards?
Yeah, that works backwards. And
okay.
Ink can still solve a chess mystery.
Thinking backwards is superb for problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the end and go, how did I get there? All right. And then you work your way back.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, exactly. How did I get here? You were just in the other room. Go back in the other room, you'll figure it out. You know.
Okay.
yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Why am I in the kitchen? I have no idea. You know,
yes.
Halloween, it was a great build-up. They did it right. I think it's odd that this it's like a bunch of old fogies together here, but it was amazing that in the times where the three of us grew up, that it was sold the correct way, it was energized the correct way, and most people that were involved with Halloween, had a lot of fun. We had the scare houses, the spook houses, the ghost houses, and all that, the events you went to. It was a lot of fun all the whole month leading up to the actual day you go marching.
Yep. Now they already got the blasted Christmas stuff up, and it isn't even Halloween yet.
Oh, they've had some of this stuff up since August.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
No. Yeah. No. And I saw. This is what got me recently, and this was last. What is today? It's Monday. It's Tuesday. So
Tuesday.
I want to say
only,
Friday.
But only till midnight. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Friday, I go to the grocery store, get my stuff. I go to get the half and half creamer for my coffee. I look up a little bit higher. Eggnog is on sale, and I'm like, why is eggnog in the store in October? and it's, you know, it's got like a Christmas little decal or something on. I'm like, why? Wrong. I don't like it.
I already created it. I just got to post it now. Tomorrow's show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've already got the media made. Tomorrow I'm going to make Thursday and Friday.
Woohoo!
Because Thursday,
you know,
part
of the problem with this early Christmas thing is that, you know, once they sell what they have, then they're done. They're not getting extra shipments in and stuff. So they put out early, and people buy it early. Well, it won't be around, so they buy it early. Then when Christmas comes around, nothing's there.
Right.
It makes no sense.
Well, of my 968,000 jobs I've had, one was being an assistant manager in a department store. And the window for buying items, seasonal items, is very small. So, like, you buy it and you hope it sells. And if it does sell, you've got, like, 4 days to figure out, did it sell fast enough that I'm going to buy a second round? And if you don't, the window closes and you can't get the item anymore.
And I understand that, but, you know, you don't have to put it out there that early, especially if you're not planning on reordering, which stores today aren't. You know, they don't want the stock in the inventory, so
they put it
out there early, and it sells early, and then it's not there for you at Christmas time. It's silly.
So, that's a problem with the buying models that are out there today. If that is indeed happening, then that's wrong.
I tried buying a model the other day, but she slapped me.
I was just in the other room looking, and I've got these glow-in-the-dark Revell models of Universal Studios monsters.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. All five. Dracula, Frankenstein Monster, Wolfman, Mummy, and Phantom of the Opera.
Cool.
Yeah. I was just, wow, you started it, Dave.
Dave, you madman.
Yeah. They're still in the box. I haven't assembled them. They're still in the box.
I would like to see you put those together. That would be nice.
Well, it'd be fun to put them together as long as you pull them back apart. I mean, part of the fun about checkers is you can flip the board and start over, right? Flip the board. What was that? Oh, man. I was showing a monster movie once, one time, and one of the people that were watching, they just said, flip the board. It took me a while to figure that out. It's like, oh, yeah, flip the board. Yeah, we need to start all over. Because it just got really out of hand, whatever it was. And it was, flip the board, which, you know, you take a checkerboard and you flip it, and all the parts go everywhere. You know, who won? Well, it's not who won. It's like who didn't lose, right? You know.
Well, kids, I hate to do this personally, but I'm going to have to beg out of here. I have to be at work early in the morning. And
I'm
going to
beg out number two.
What?
I'll beg out number two.
Oh, okay.
I'm sitting here for another 3 hours.
No. Okay, you do that. We'll see you later.
Good luck with that. Yeah, because, you stop recording in 29 minutes, so I want to see what happens in that 3 hours.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
talking to myself again.
That British lady gonna be cutting you off.
Yes, she will. That nasty, limey.
So and so. Yeah.
Yeah.
G-rated.
That's right. Yeah, I'm not gonna do the.
Yeah, don't call her nothing.
No.
Except late for dinner.
That's right. The only thing I'm going to do to her is play her some Jimmy Durante.
There you go.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night. Hey,
it's time
good
to
night.
Say good night. Good night. Good night. What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day, and ink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.